This is an international podcast transmission. Is anyone out there? If you're listening, you've reached the No Fixed Agenda podcast.
I'm taking this train to the promised land. Won't you give it up? You understand. We'll take one foot forward. Don't look back.
So explain that now. So you thought you had double zeros in your calcium.
Well, first of all, what was the first initial problem?
Well, there really wasn't an issue at the time I went in. Right, my doctor was retiring, and he'd be like a friend, right? So
got it.
So he says, "Hey, Andy. Hey, I noticed with the last test we did, our last blood lipid panel. He says your cholesterol is up a little bit. It's not bad, but you know, since you had this issue with your artery and your hip from all." Cycling, triathlon stuff. That was a crazy journey too, by the way. But he said, let's just have this check. Let's just check and see if you've got this calcium. You know, we just want to make sure it's a zero. Make sure you don't have anything else going on with your vascular system. And that was it, right? So I went off and took the test and it was no big deal. It was up here. And like I said, I get the phone call. I was just back from a run in Torrey Pines and doctors come in and he's
like, come in now.
Come in now. And so I'm like, geez, you know, so I go in and then he says to me, he's like, I'm like, well, I must be getting a prize for the best cardio, you know, vascular system you've ever seen. Right. And he's just like, well, did you want a zero? Like, as I said, and 200 is bad. And you have a 663.
Overachiever, dude.
Overachiever. Yeah. I told you. I totally told you. And so then I'm like going, okay. And so then it's like, you see, cause the dude's like, he's a really nice guy. He's athletic. He gets the fact that I've been training my whole life. I do all these things, right?
That is so cool to have a doctor that knows athletics.
Yeah.
Right?
And just, yeah. But what he did next though, I'm not sure was the greatest thing for me because the panic kind of set in, right? Mm. And the panic was statins immediately. Get on statins, get your cholesterol down as low as you can possibly get it. Get the stress test, get all these tests, do all these things for your heart. So meanwhile, it's interesting. My youngest kid was at Davis at the time. He went to UCLA and he played water polo. And so I was at their conference tournament, right? And I'm sitting there in the stands just going, well, am I going to like have a heart attack? Am I going to kick just by sitting here? Mm. So of course I asked him, hey, can I keep training, doing whatever? He's like, dude, you got to chill. So I'm like, really?
Because cholesterol and calcium, because your issue was calcium, right?
Well, yeah. It's the calcification of your arteries in your heart.
Got it.
So in itself, a lot of endurance athletes have it, like they do. And it's interesting when you kind of peel it back with you think about all the great triathletes, like the Mark Allens and the Tinleys and all those guys all have stuff going on with them, like the hips, knees, heart, all this stuff, you know, from pushing it. And so in this case, so they immediately got me on these statins, do all this stuff. And I'm like, oh crap, this is scary stuff. And so I went plant-based at that point. I wasn't eating a lot of red meat anyway, a lot. But so total plant-based, trying to get this cholesterol down as low as I can. Dude, the next thing that happens, like, dude, I went from like 185 pounds to 156.
Wow.
Dude, skeleton. Like my arms, my muscles were like, I'm like, this is crazy. And of course, I'm reading Peter Attia, I'm reading Outlive, and I'm listening to what he has to say. And that dude, I mean, he's got statistics. He's the right dude. Like, so I'm just like, you know what? Why am I on two doses of statins that are killing me? My muscles are dying. Yeah. I'm dying. I feel like I'm dying. I feel horrible. And so I start listening to Tia. I start doing more research. I'm like, you can get from 5 milligrams of a statin, you can get 85% of the efficacy, right? Like, what the hell am I on two different statins for? I'm just so, nope. I'm rejecting all of it. Creatine, more protein, getting myself. Meanwhile, I had shoulder surgery. That's a whole other thing.
When it rains, it pours.
But honestly, my heart checked out fine on the stress test, all that stuff. But the point is like what I've learned through all of this is that you know, it is exactly medicine 2.0. They want to give you pills mm-hmm. and make you feel, you know, to address the symptoms. They're not addressing the core issue of what's going on.
Yeah.
And honestly, if I stayed down that path, probably would have killed me. And now kind of trimming it way back, there's still this debate or whether or not I should be on any statin at all with the calcium stuff there or not. My, you know, knock on wood, my cholesterol is low, but you need it as an individual. You need cholesterol. So this right. is yeah. a huge debate right now, right? Yeah. So anyway, right. that's the...
Did the doctor tell you about what drove the calcification and all that stuff? I mean, if you're working out regularly, yeah. you're doing all these triathlons, you're eating somewhat...
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
He didn't get any insight yeah. as to how that could happen.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about all of that is that what I've known my whole life, that I don't sleep much. I never have. I'm like excited for the next day. Like I get, like, I don't sleep much. I'm an entrepreneur. I do all these things, right? I get excited about what's coming next. So I don't sleep much. I never have slept much, like 4 yeah. hours. And it's just horrible for you. Like, yeah. it's like that's all horrible.
I'm the same way. I'm like, I'm good. I'm lucky if I get six.
I got,
and,
yeah.
Right. I
got
issues. I know. And so I think I have sleep apnea, honestly, because I get yourself gagging and choking and doing whatever.
Have you ever gotten tested?
Well, I'm supposed to. That's the other ironic thing. Like I wanted to go in and get it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get this thing done. They're yeah. like, okay, that'll be in December.
Yeah, they're horrible, dude. Like, I just got a study done.
Did you?
So I just got a study done. So I used to be almost 400 pounds. Wow. And then so I had it.
Dude.
That's how they diagnosed me because I fell asleep behind the wheel, didn't know.
Oh, man.
Then I found out after I got sleep apnea, my energy level just went through the freaking roof, dude. I didn't realize I was sleeping like 5-6 hours a day, but I was only getting about 10 minutes of sleep, real
yeah.
sleep.
Yeah, yeah so that's crazy.
I survived like that for like years.
Yeah.
Right. That, and yeah. so now I became an entrepreneur just. You know, and we yeah. talked about this. I'm actually changing the content that I'm putting out in the world right now because of it.
Yeah.
And as an entrepreneur, I gained 60 pounds back.
Yeah.
Right. As I gained 60 pounds back, the same feeling that I had when I went to sleep, when I would sleep 5-6 hours when I lost the weight and it was quality sleep, I woke up refreshed.
Yeah.
For the last year and a half of this entrepreneur journey, I wake up and I'm tired.
Yeah.
And I'm exhausted.
You're fighting it all night. Yeah.
and somebody gifted me this like a Whoop almost, yeah. but a Zep.
Yeah.
And it just reaffirmed. And then I did a sleep study.
Yeah.
To your point, they yeah. push you way the hell out. And yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. You're telling me I have all these health issues and yeah. I'm not this, and like the issue is sleep apnea, but you don't want to do the fucking study on me. Right. Come on, give me the study, dude. And then it's like, you get the study and they're like, okay, we got to go through 3 different appointments just Jeez. To get the results. And then when you yeah. get the results, they're like, okay, well, you're going to have to wait 3 to 4 weeks to get your machine.
Oh my God. So
I need a machine.
Yeah.
But there's so much more out there now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back, you know, 10 years ago when this came up for me, 10 years ago, they used to just give you the machine
yeah.
and surgery. Those are the yeah. two options.
Right.
Now they have a night guard yep. that pushes your jaw
right.
out.
That's right.
And they also have some electric shock thing that
that's
actually
shocks.
That's on your arm
yeah, yeah.
that makes you stick your tongue out while you're sleeping, dude.
Oh,
and it
shit.
Like it like
that's
creates,
probably pretty.
Yeah, it's like you're sitting there going, you're sitting next to me like, ah. But yeah, they have like Damn. These 4 options now, dude. And I was like, which one's going to be the fastest one to get me?
But that's the thing too. Even with the machine,
yeah.
like the machines used to be huge,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
how do you even go yeah. travel now? Now it's like this small little
yeah.
travel size right. sleep machine.
Yeah. So it's come a long way. But does your doctor think sleep apnea was? Or you think that quality sleep is probably...
Honestly, I'm the one that's pushing all of it, like trying to...
And you have
all the research,
to be, yeah.
right? You have to be the one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I've been the one that's like, you know, it's probably time to do that because I know that I don't sleep well. I know that I wake up all the time during the night. I do all these things. And so it just made more sense to it. And then reading about the calcium score, it's like people that can't sleep well. Endurance athletes, all these things, it just starts adding up. And it's funny because like your doctors are not... pulling the pieces together, you have to do it, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of that.
It's kind of sucks, dude.
Yeah.
It kind of sucks, bro.
Well, you pay all this medical health insurance.
Dude, and I spent thousands in the last 3 months just trying to figure out what the hell is wrong with me,
yeah.
right? And so I've never heard of this calcium thing, but now I'm going to go back to my doctor yeah. and be like, check my calcium,
yeah.
bro.
Yeah. And so this is the debate again. It's like this whole the cholesterol thing, like, they're finding out that people that actually have higher cholesterol over 50 or whatever actually live longer than the people that have the lower cholesterol.
Mm, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you need cholesterol. And
you need so it. You have to have it.
I don't know what the calcium aspect of things. Did your doctor give you any more insight other than you have extremely high level of calcium? Did he tell you how to break it down?
Well, it's one of those things where the statin, I think, helps stabilize it, right? Mm. So you, the last thing you want is like calcium that's going to chip off and then you're going to end up having an aneurysm
or a stroke.
And clot and stroke out and die.
Yeah.
That would be bad.
Yeah.
let's reel it back in here for a second. Now that
we're going to have to put that piece somewhere in the middle.
Even fun stuff.
Yeah.
So to those that are listening in and being like, what did I just walk into? Right? What am I listening to? Yeah.
What a bunch of garbage.
Like, turn it off. Please tune in. Stay tuned in. It's worth it.
So we have Andy Bogenthaler here today. And Andy, you and I have known each other actually for a while just through the running community. So this is all about No Nasty and your new business and the organic detergents and all that stuff. But you also own Race Guards as well. And do you know what Race Guards is?
I have no clue what Race Guards is.
You've probably seen, if you've done any kind of marathon, half marathon.
That's why I don't know anything about them.
it's true.
There's no barbells involved.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
If you've been in the endurance category and been out on any kind of race, you've probably seen race guards or medical professionals running alongside the participants.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and Andy can explain a little bit more, but you guys have been around for a while.
13 years.
Yeah. And hundreds of events a year. It's an unbelievable service. Actually, it's really cool for those, race directors that have a hard time figuring out the medical side of things. Mm. Like, where do we place the medical? Like, where's the ambulance? Where's the access points, right? Like, it helps that Andy's been able to help provide some of that on course in some of those really hard to reach spots, right? So I want you to explain that a little bit and then how that kind of has helped you transition into what we're going to be talking about, No Nasty.
Yeah. Happy to do that. So Race Guards, you know, it's interesting. Like, serial entrepreneur, product development guy. I was building a...
That's why I brought you in, because you and I can chat about that. So we're a serial entrepreneur. Yeah,
I'm traumatized from my first business, man.
I know. And that's why you wonder why I've got stuff in my heart.
Yeah.
But anyway, long time. Like, I mean, just to give you the quick, path on how I got to Race Guards and all of that, was that longtime product development guy... triathlete, endurance athlete, seen a lot of stuff happen out on the race course, right? Mm. And while I was building this one company, I worked with some amazing brands in my career, Nabisco, General Motors, DuPont, Teflon, build some of the largest licenses in the world. And I'm so proud of that. And a colleague of mine wanted me to come, Hang Ten. I was vice president of worldwide licensing for Hang Ten for many years. And we just crushed it. And then this colleague of mine wanted me to help her build this life insurance company of all things. And I did, and we had to think differently. And we did that. I ended up reeling in AIG, and AIG acquired us. Right. But during that period of time, I was training all the time. I always wanted to do Ironman, do all that stuff. And one of my training races before Ironman was, I was at a race in Palm Springs, and I literally get out of the water, get to my bike. I'm rushing to my bike and I get there. And I put my helmet on, and all of a sudden, there's this dude next to me. There was this stuff kind of going on next to me, right? Mm. And ultimately, all of a sudden, he just falls back into my arms. Oof. Do you know the story?
No, I don't. No, I've never heard the story.
So he falls. I get goosebumps in a bad way. So the dude falls back in my arms. I'm like, hey, dude,
what's wrong?
What's going on? His eyes are like saucers, man. Mm. I'm like, okay, I got you. And I'm looking around, and fortunately, I yell, and somebody yelled to somebody, and then the paramedic was there, and dude comes hopping over. And within a few seconds, the dude, I said, you're in good hands now. I want to believe he blinked or looked at me, right? So I get him down on the ground. They come, they do CPR on him. Long story short is he died. His wife and kid were standing right across looking at the whole thing, right?
Wow.
So there I am, right? It's this whole thing. And then so I go and I do my race or whatever. I just feel shitty about the whole thing, right? And it's been one of those things in the back of my mind, marathon after marathon, I see people that need things. And whether or not it's like a serious thing, it's like cramping. I'm crampopotamus myself, like down into super marathons and stuff. And no one's around there to help you. And I mean, nobody cares out there on the course, right?
They're trying to finish their race.
And so that was in the back of my mind. So we sell AIG, sell our company to AIG in 2007, 2008, you know what happens, right?
Yeah.
The whole world, you know, explodes because of AIG. And I'm sitting around there and I have to stay there because we sold our company and we have to stay there. I can't do shit. Like, my hands are tied. Like, I can't do anything. And so I'm like, you know what? I want to do something. I want to give back. I've been thinking about this idea of race guards providing in-race medical people that are trained with, at the very least, CPR, AED, first aid, run in the races with the participant, fast, medium, slow pace, keep an eye out for people that need things. And ultimately, you know, I ended up getting my friends together to do that, medical people and non-medical people that get certified. And I don't know if you remember Finish Chelsea's Run.
I do, yep.
I was one of the guys that helped start that. It was a kind of a horrible thing, but it turned out to be an amazing event. We decided to try the concept out, right? This idea of having people in the race. And honestly, I'll never forget it. We had like 30 people, this little race, little 5K.
Yeah.
We're like running along. And I'm running with my buddy from college, you know, and we're running together and I look to him and I go, I don't know if this is a good idea. And he's like, dude, this is awesome. What are you talking about? And 30 seconds later, dude, somebody face plants. No, he just face plants. Oh, okay. He tripped.
Just tripped. And
then there's like four race cards on him, like trying to get, you know, and we get him to the finish line and we get him to the medical tent or whatever. And the thing that I knew in my heart at that moment in time, all the race guards that were there, right? This very first journey, they're all like smiling and they're all super stoked to be there because we're all endurance people that always beat up on each other, right? You know, day after day. And here's a way to turn it around and give it back. Right. And as you're getting older, you can't go as fast. You can't do these things. But you still want to be out there and the environment's amazing. And so I said, you know, I think that there's an opportunity to really scale this thing and add some technology to it. So when you have an incident, you can report the incident. You know where they are in the course. So race directors can say over periods of time when you do races over and over again, you can look back and go, you know what? Mile 9, that's not a good place. Like you should have medical there because that's where you have more incidents and things like that, right? So it really evolved into that. And once we had some technology, we knew how to train people. We knew what we were looking for. We're not looking for people that wanted to be in the medical tent, helping people in the medical. That's not who we want. We want the people that are firefighters, endurance athletes, people that want to serve, but also badass endurance athletes that want to give back. And the next thing you know, the things just starts to roll. And we end up getting a sponsorship with 3M. Really, you know, took off. COVID obviously killed everybody on the races. Our sponsorship, you know, ended all that stuff. But it wasn't from a lack of that. They saw us literally save people CPR on the course. Like it was crazy. And right now with race guards is we really need a strategic partnership like American Heart Association. Those guys, we could kill it for them. We could actually crush it for them as far as fundraising, teaching people hands-on CPR. But you got to get rid of the politics. You got to get rid of stuff like that to make that happen. You know, American Red Cross would be another one. That's a great one. So anyway, that's kind of race guards. And that's kind of how I got into it and why I got into it. And I'm a better person knowing all these race guards. We had like 1,200 race guards across the country.
Wow. You don't think you need that kind of medical attention at a fitness event, dude?
Oh God! No.
You don't. Like if you think about it, like you people that are endurance athletes or even out there on the course, hell, I'm thinking the scenario of CrossFit, right?
Oh,
what's his name?
When Laz, you talk about 24.
That passed, right?
You know what happened with that, right?
No.
So the CrossFit Games last year, they did a swimming. They did a swim run event. And they had an athlete that did get in medical attention, got pretty much drowned in the water. Gosh, like first
on TV.
On TV.
During the CrossFit Games.
One of the first events that was going on in the CrossFit. And this is a nationally televised deal. They didn't have the appropriate medical staff to be able to get to him. And it was just became this whole entire clusterfuck of what just happened, what we could have done to prevent it.
Yeah.
like the process that they, that CrossFit actually went through to figure out like, oh, do we move on? Do we not? What's the process for next year?
Yeah.
So on and so forth. So it's situations like that, that sometimes race directors or event coordinators, you kind of look at it as, oh, we'll have a, and I hate to say this, but I've been one to do that too. Like, oh, we've got an ambulance out here. They'll be accessible. My story with that, and then we'll kick over to No Nasty because that's really what I want to talk about. But we have our Kook run there in Encinitas. Yeah. So we hired an ambulance company. I won't mention which one it was. We hired an ambulance company. We had an incident on the course and it was like real close to the finish line. An older gentleman tripped and completely just scraped his entire front up, arms, legs, everything.
And when that happens.
And he was old enough where he was, you could kind of tell he was a little bit out of it.
Oh yeah.
So we called the ambulance and been like, hey guys, we have an issue that we need you to get to. They're like, oh, well, we had to leave because there was another call for something down the road. I'm like, they're not associated with us.
Oh my
like,
God.
Why'd you guys? And it was this whole entire thing. Yeah. And finally I was like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Like that's the last time you guys get hired. But so from an event coordinator perspective, that is some of the things that you almost kind of like, oh yeah, there's an ambulance there or there's a medical team at the start finish line, but you don't really
think of having
factor in something like that's that close to the finish line.
I would say the biggest thing that race guard does is prevent the big things from happening. Right.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's the little things, whether or not when you're running on the course, you see things, right. Mm. You see somebody who might be listing a little bit or running their gates off a little bit. If you get to that individual early enough and you realize that they're not taking their electrolytes, they get them some salt, get them the chafing, all this stuff, just all these little things. If you handle it early, you won't have all these big things down the road.
Exactly.
And there's so many little, like we did a rock and roll event here in San Diego. Mm. It was, you know, the weather was decent, but it got hot. So people were overdressed and all that stuff. Our team probably had 40 race guards. We helped over 630 people that day.
Wow. Mm. Jesus.
Brutal. Like it was crazy. Like, and most of it was little stuff. You know, there was some that went to the hospital and all that stuff. Sure. But it is one of those things where we did a race here in San Diego just recently. And I think we may have mentioned it, but there was an issue out on the course and it was serious. And they sent a BLS group out there. Mm-hmm. They didn't know what to do. The ambulance group did not know what to do. Like, and I think what the problem with that whole scenario, and we can end it with that, is that no one's getting paid enough to be in an ambulance, to be an EMT. And then the quality side of it, it's just like they're getting bodies in there.
Yeah.
And when the ambulance shows up and they don't really know what to do, it's a bad scenario. It's a bad deal. And when race guards are the ones that are having to deal with it and getting an ALS unit out there, which was the answer, and the guy was okay, fortunately. But that could have been a disaster.
Yeah, that could have been a nightmare.
So hopefully hopefully somehow EMTs can get better pay. They can get better, training and not just shoved through and stuck in an ambulance and all that stuff. That's a tough deal. Like I feel for those.
So let's shift gears here. You referenced 2020 and how race car, the event industry stopped, right? We all know that. But so is 2020 a launch pad to the new idea of No Nasty and detergents and all that stuff. Like go through that time frame.
Yeah. So, that was kind of that, it was literally one of those things where my co-founder Jurgen and I were at a yoga class in probably right before COVID, right at that time. Mm-hmm. And we were in a yoga sculpt class at Core Power. And I'm in there, Jurgen's up over in the corner. I'm kind of back in the back and this dude comes rolling in. Flops his mat down.
Oh, I can see where this is going to go.
Yeah. And the room starts heating up. Right.
Yeah.
And the dude, it wasn't just like body odor stuff. It was funk from your clothes.
Yeah.
And you know how that gets. Smell right.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. No, it's really bad. Really bad. And I'm like going, oh my God, I'm just dying back there. And Jurgen, he German guy. And so he, in the locker room after I was in the shower and Jurgen said something to the dude, right? Kevin, his name's Kevin. Stinky Kevin, right? He's
Stinky Kevin.
Did Jurgen say that?
Jurgen just says, dude, your clothes are like ridiculously
stinky.
You stink so bad. Like, I don't know, you got to do something. because it's really bad. The guy was the guy. He actually, yeah. And Jurgen did a really nice job at it.
Okay.
He's very direct, but he's very kind at the same time. Like I can't do that. Like if I'm pissed off about something, you're gonna know I'm pissed off. Generally, I'm not. So, but he did a good job with that. And so, so then, you know, my product development stuff comes back into it, right? And I'm like, well, maybe there's a way. And from our race guard uniforms, right? Our race guard uniforms, we had a formula. Our race guard uniforms are like bike uniforms, right? Mm-hmm. And our medical packs, they sweaty and they stink, mm-hmm. right? So we needed a formula to actually lift and remove all that gunk and make them smell decent again because they were horrible. So we actually had a sponsor that had a product that did that. And so meanwhile, I'm kind of thinking fast forward to it could be a play for a laundry detergent for yogis. If you play it on Namaste, a play off of Namaste, you call it No Nasty. You spell it N-O-N-A-S-T-E, right? Yeah. And so Jurgen's like, yeah, that's an interesting idea. I'm like, let's see if it makes sense to the public. Let's do some product research with anything that I've ever done with product research with all my product development stuff, whether it be GM, Nabisco, whatever it is, you do product research with community and see what they think. And that includes your family and everybody else, right? So we literally mocked up a website that looked very yogi, right? It was like the laundry detergent bottles looked like Swell bottles, you know, and it was like charcoal and lavender and seafoam green, right? And it was pretty, just super yogi. And so we had people come in and look at it and see what they said. And it was so interesting that the response was certainly, absolutely, we'd love a laundry detergent to take the stink out of our Lululemons, our Vioris, you know, our Aloe, whatever, all our expensive stuff. But we do other stuff. And we got kids that play sports, hockey and lacrosse, which is so gross, and soccer, shin guards, all that stuff. So odor sprays and stuff like that. And so then my eyeballs kind of like you saw this is a much bigger opportunity. Yeah. This is a huge opportunity outside of just stupid laundry detergent, right?
Yeah.
But the laundry detergent was key and it was first. And so during COVID, right, COVID was like the perfect ground to do research. Nobody was around.
Yeah.
Nobody, I mean, it was good and bad. There was stuff that was super hard to do and super easy to do because nobody was around. So fortunately, the formulator that had this other product, he's amazing. He's a good friend today. He heard what I was saying of what we wanted to do. The formula was great. We just needed to tweak it a little bit, have our friends and family try it and see if it works and make sure it works and make sure the scents are right and make sure you have an unscented and make sure if you have any sort of fragrance, it's got to be healthy, good for the environment, all that stuff. But that was the point in which during those 2 years of COVID, 2.5 years of COVID, that we could really bear down and try these formulas and try it out. The other challenge was like, where are you going to find a bottle on the planet? Like, where are you going to get a bottle?
Yeah.
So fortunately, and this is like small world stuff. And I honestly believe that stuff happens for a reason and all that stuff. But Jurgen's dad, my co-founder's dad, he worked for a company that he was president of the company, I believe, out of Michigan that made these bottle manufacturing machines that actually make the bottles, right?
Yeah.
And he sold these bottles to a guy up in Corona. He sold these machines to a family up in Corona. Well, the family had split up and the son, whatever, started his own business. And Jurgen's dad, this guy went to Jurgen's dad and said, hey, I really want to start this. You know, my family, it's tough working there. I'm going to start my own thing. It's a little different thing. Jurgen's dad gave this guy a shawl, said, I know you can't afford it. I'll let you, you know, work it off. And so our bottles today, you know, are these beautiful, soft touch, highly recyclable bottles. They're beautiful and they decorate them. There's no label on them. They're all printed on there. It's absolutely beautiful. And so from the aha of, hey, this is it's a lifestyle brand, right? It is a lifestyle brand for active people and pets. So it's from sweat to pets is kind of what we like to say. And things get nasty and gross. So that's kind of where we sit today. And it's highly effective, it's eco-friendly, and it's super, super cool. I love where we're headed. I couldn't be more excited.
So being that it's started from the yoga perspective,
yeah.
Are you guys targeting more towards the yoga? I know it's athletics overall, yeah. But do you have, what's kind of the outlook on marketing as far as who you're really trying to reach? And I will say, and I want to thank you because No Nasty is now a sponsor to my trail races.
Yeah.
So that just kind of shows me too, that the running community is obviously a huge demographic for you guys.
Yeah.
Like, do you see all different types of demographic from an athletic perspective, like motocross to, to the running community, to yoga? No, that's kind of what you guys
gyms.
Are. Yeah, yeah. Everything, the boxing gloves, right? The boxing gyms and the gloves and stuff.
Oh,
they were buying our product long before we even approached them, right? because the gloves are so stinky, right? So they use our odor eliminating spray for that. But to answer your question, it's like, it's across the board. And certainly running is, and triathlon and all of that is so near and dear to my heart.
That's
right.
A passion. Yeah.
It's a huge passion. And so I want to make sure everybody gets it and uses it. And the more you use it, the better it is. I mean, it truly is a great product. The thing that I look at, from whether it was from the insurance company thing, when I was thinking about AIG and how powerful that brand was, AIG Direct, man, if we could build this partnership where it's auto insurance, home insurance, life insurance, all these, under one easy place to do it, that makes sense. I look at No Nasty. I mean, when you think about it, so many things get nasty in your life, whether it's your clothes, whether it's your car, your dishes, your whatever. Like, it's say no to nasty. That's kind of the deal, right? Mm-hmm. So when it comes to sports specific, I mean, I'm near and dear to running and triathlon, obviously, but and yogis, of course, but it has so many applications beyond that. And that's why, like pets, it's a huge thing. People, how'd you get to pets? Yeah. Well, A, I'm a dog lover, but B, if you're active, right? If you're out doing whatever it is, if you're paddleboarding or if you're surfing or whatever, chances are you probably have a pet. Chances are. And if you have a pet, you're active with those pets. Those pets are going to get gross and dirty.
Yeah.
And so that's where it all kind of comes together. And that's, I'm super, super proud of that stuff.
You know, and what I like is I've started using some of the products since then. You were thankful for you brought in another dog wash.
Yeah.
We've been using it on my dogs ever since. My dogs have allergies. So I have a Bordeaux Mastiff that is allergic to fucking everything.
Yeah, right.
I was just asking. I was just at his house. I'm like, hey, Leia has a freaking bald spot, bro. What's up with that?
Yeah. She got a bald spot on her right side now, and she got some kind of fungus or whatever earlier in the summer, and she got sunburned on that space. And all the follicles are now gone. So I don't know if that's ever going to come back, but
shins. I don't know what happened.
But yeah, she's so allergic to everything that I was like, we've had to research like different types of dog shampoo because it's like, okay, well, it shouldn't have this, shouldn't have that, shouldn't have this. And we were realizing like we got down to like, before I started using we got down to like two brands.
Yeah.
And at that point I was like, oh, well, this one's super expensive.
Yeah.
And this one's hard to find.
Right.
And it just became one of those things. Like, so we started using No Nasty to test it out, and it actually no issues whatsoever.
No, that's great. That's great.
And my wife has the same thing when it comes to detergents. We have to fragrance detergents.
Yeah.
Are a no go. She like her skin automatically could get all red from
it. Right.
So that's what I love about your guys' products is the fact that it's just more of that organic, all natural.
Yeah. We just got, you know, in fact, I don't know if you've got the Pure Clean, the teal bottle one, which is unscented.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's the one, you know, we just got certified, EWG certified, which is a green certification, which they run you through the freaking ringer to try to get this
that's
thing
interesting.
Certified.
We just learned about NSF sports certified.
Yeah.
We just learned about that. Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about the green certification. Because now we've been lucky enough to bring in products that are like all these new certifications that the general public doesn't know about.
Right.
It's crazy the amount of certifications are out there.
It's
but it's
nuts.
And the hoops that you have to jump through just to get the certifications.
Right.
But talk to us about it.
I mean, it's one of those things where we know that our particular product is expensive, right?
Yep.
And we know that the type of audience that's gonna buy our product is gonna be a label reader. And so when you have ingredients on the bottle, which we do,
If I can't read it, I don't know if I know if I want.
Right. So what we're doing, I don't think it's on our on the bottle I just sent you here, but all of our new stuff and all of certainly all of the pets, the bigger, the big bottles have a QR code on them where you can just scan very simply, scan that. It goes directly to our website. All of our ingredients are posted on our website, every single one, and it tells you the name and what it does why it's there. So there's no hiding in the weeds for anything. Like our products are great and they're great ingredients. You want to try to copy it, go copy it, do whatever you need to do. You're not going to, we're continuously improving and doing whatever. You're not going to get the formula exact. But anyway, so we're very proud of that. But to go through this certification and ultimately what you're striving for is to get this green certification. So when you're selling on Amazon, when you're selling to the consumers, they know, they feel confident. They know you went through some sort of vetting, make sure that it is green. But I have to say, like Jennifer, our chief marketing officer, who's amazing. She's fantastic. She kept pushing. I kept going, are you kidding me? These guys are running us through the ringer like this. I feel like it's just huge money, you know, grabbing thing where, which I think some of them are honestly, but she's just, hang on, Andy, we can get through this. I'm like, yeah, but she's, you know, we've got to go to the chemist and go to this and all these things that we're making everybody do a lot of work for and then report back and then change the bottle and change the stuff that we say on the website and do all these things. And now that we're through it, I'm grateful that we're through it and they're doing some things to promote us and do all of that kind of stuff. And for the consumer, it's the right answer. It is the right answer. But things like our Zen Fresh that has a fragrance to it, it's an enzyme resistant fragrance, but it's a healthy, it's not like it's an environmentally friendly one. Mm. But initially they're like, no, we need you to change a couple things on this thing. You're like, are you kidding me? Wow. Like, so we're doing that. So that'll be next. And then the pet shampoo has all EWG certified ingredients, but now we got to go through the certification process to get that done as well. But I just want to do that for our consumers so they know that, hey, all the stuff that we're putting out is high quality, safe for the planet, safe for you, safe for your animal.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of work though, for sure.
Yeah. All of your detergents are fragrant free?
No.
No.
Okay. So we have the two detergents. So it's Pure Clean, which is unscented. That's the one that just got the certification. Zen Fresh has just this super light fragrance to it. I mean, it's barely anything. And the whole goal of what our products are, and it does take some education, and that is we just want your clothes to smell clean. Get rid of the funk and gunk. So when you start heating up again, it doesn't smell like ass. it just smells clean.
Yeah.
That's what you want. And you want your technical fabrics to perform like they're supposed to. Now,
yes,
the traditional detergents, they smell great coming out of the laundry, right? They smell great in the drawer a week later, maybe. But as soon as you start heating up, that bacteria is still there. It reactivates. It's there. And your products will look dull, right? It's just going to smell like crap. And it's just bad. It's horrible. And it's bad for your skin. It's bad for the environment. It's just not good stuff. But I get the fact that people like how it smells coming out of laundry. You know, it smells great. Ours is just like, it smells clean. It doesn't smell like anything.
Yeah. I saw you have like a spray.
Yeah. That's the odor spray.
That stuff is cool. That stuff is good.
Well, now I'm going to plant a seed because now it's like I own a gym. Yeah. Right. And so I have that scenario that you just described that motivated you to create No Nasty, right? My gym, and I'm not going to
spray
put
people.
Names out. But Matt's turf.
Yeah.
That kind of thing is
stuff.
That's the stuff that, I just spent $4,000 on a piece of turf that I put in my gym.
Right.
Like maintaining that. Yeah. No Nasty is good for that stuff.
It is. It is. You know, interestingly enough, like we were at Super Zoo, which is the biggest trade show for pets, things like that. We were talking with a guy who really liked our stuff, and his whole deal was for turf was he had a product that for turf specifically that you spray on, and it's pretty big container size, but it's almost like a weed sprayer kind of thing. Yeah. Right. And he, that was his niche. Like he just said, all these people buy this turf and it doesn't drain right. It doesn't whatever. And stuff stinks with all the pet stuff. Yeah. That was his whole thing. And so for us, it works great on all that stuff, right? For all, especially the sweat, right? Not, well, we have a pet odor stain, which is great for all that urine and all that stuff. But so we're thinking about doing some things in a larger scale, like in, so No Nasty Pro. So if you've got the, you know, the gallon jugs of it and then the sprayers and stuff like that for gym use,
yeah,
like that. So,
yeah.
But it certainly will work, you know, in the smaller form.
I used to think like during COVID, how important No Nasty would have been. But I mean, there was, yeah. The COVID was the perfect environment to create any kind of cleaning products.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cleaning companies were top notch.
Like, yeah. Top notch, yeah. Bro.
$1 million yeah. sales every yeah. year. About.
I know. So, yeah. I know serial entrepreneurs yeah. are like, I'm buying containers worth of alcohol yeah. wraps, yeah. wipes, dude. And stuff like that. Yeah. Right? It was crazy.
We have an amazing hand sanitizer formula. Actually, we have it's really, really good. And it's 80% isopropyl alcohol and spike lavender oil. So you spray it on. It's not like a gel and that icky stuff that gets yeah. on. Yeah. It's like this light spray. It smells like alcohol. You rub your hands like this a little bit and then you smell the lavender kick in. It's awesome. I have a bunch of it. But the problem is for us is like it's highly flammable. Mm. You can't get it into Amazon. Nobody's going to, because it's hazardous.
Yeah, to ship. Yeah.
You know, all that stuff. So we have this amazing formula like in this amazing deal. In fact, there's a company, I'm not going to say who it is, you probably figured out, that approached us about a partnership that does a lot of that stuff, but they do a lot of private label brands mm-hmm. that includes hand sanitizers and all that stuff. And so mm-hmm. who knows where it's going to go for us. But but the hand sanitizer, I use it all the time. You know, when we run out of the stuff, I'm going to be bummed because it's really good.
Are you offering that on your website as well?
No, we're not. It, you know, because it expires like, and so it expired. So I'm not even going to have tons of it, but it's alcohol. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's going to work forever.
Exactly. I'll bring the spray bottle that I have, the odor. Yeah. I'll bring that to the gym and you can test it out.
That's the biggest thing for us is like, we just remodeled our whole gym.
And, yeah.
And like, I'm thinking of ways to maintain the stuff. And obviously we're sweating. It's
yeah.
hot.
Yeah.
We're doing all the things, right?
Yeah, right.
Turf is expensive, man.
Yeah.
And if you don't take care of it, yeah. dude, it's just like, it yeah. doesn't drain. It has nowhere to go.
Right.
Like you can only shampoo it so many times, yeah. right? And it's just yeah. craziness, right? Yeah. So same as the yoga mat, yeah. right? But you also have people that are coming in with clothes and
yep.
So yeah, I'm definitely gonna look into your products. If you had hand yeah. sanitizers, that would be
yeah. Well, I gave you a bunch of hand sanitizers.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh no, I've got cases of hand sanitizer. But you can try some of that. Yeah, I definitely would. I got cases in the warehouse that are getting yeah. ready to get out to the VIPs in our races. But
yeah,
the one thing I'm curious about starting this up, like as any entrepreneur faces, like what's been the biggest challenge with the product itself or the marketing or yeah. the distribution or yeah. what have you guys seen that as a startup company, what are you guys dealing with the biggest and what are you guys looking to do?
I think it's most what every entrepreneur deals with. And that is access to capital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Right. I mean, it's one of those things where, fortunately, through COVID for us, right? Like you can test the product out and you can lean on your friends and family to see if it's a good idea or not. And fortunately, and I'm so fortunate, like the relationships are everything, as you guys know, in business and in life, right? And so these connections that I've had over the years throughout my career has really brought me together to bring an amazing team together right now. Tanya and Jen, they're amazing individuals. Tanya's one of my favorite people on the planet. Like when you can assemble a team that gets it, you have gold. You absolutely have gold. In the meantime, when you're just starting out, you're having to fund all this stuff. I'm bootstrapping everything myself. Yep. You guys get it. It's like, you don't know. And then I'm used to making it, you know, a nice big paycheck and all that stuff. My family is, you know, I have three kids, colleges, all these things. And then, so all the stress, we go back to the original thing. Why do I have calcium in my
exactly.
heart?
Yeah.
Full circle.
Full circle. Yeah. They're like, oh.
There it is, right?
I know. This is.
So the thing that I think is interesting is that you as an entrepreneur need to get some traction and show what you're doing in business. That I look at today, and I was just the other day, I was like looking at my lineup of products and I look at my team and all that. It's like, we have an awesome brand. Mm. We have an awesome team. We need the funding to get us to that next level. And that's always the search. And that's my job as CEO is to find the funding to get us to that next thing, because we can make this thing fly. And the interesting thing, guys, is that my team, they know that it's like, Andy, I know you're tired. I know you want to get this thing up and do things. And for me, it's like, I want to see No Nasty go. I don't need it to be $200 million company. I want people to enjoy it, see it in the marketplace, use it and feel good about it and be an active. I love that. But I don't need it to be 200 million. My team, it's so funny because we were talking about exit and talking about when we go, and all of them, like, I'm like, you know, there could be this one opportunity I just kind of mentioned that, you know, that could be a $40 million exit, something like that. Right. Mm-hmm. They're like, nope, don't do it. We can get more. We can do more.
Yeah.
Wow. We've got a lot of stuff happening. Don't do it.
Yeah, right.
So that's, I mean, to me, that gets me excited for the team, because I want everybody to benefit from this. I don't want people to be, you know, I want everybody on my team who works their absolute ass off. They do, every single one of them. We're a tiny team. Like, I want them to, I want it to be meaningful to them.
You know?
So hopefully, but to the question, access to capital, this is the thing that I don't get it. Like, from the standpoint of whatever administration's in power at the time, when it was Biden, I'm trying to apply stuff. Jurgen and I, because we bootstrapped everything. We didn't have any debt. What about a loan, SBA loan? Why don't we do that? So we go through the process. Oh, you guys would be great for this. We go through the process. And what happens? They say, you guys have too many like personal assets to do that. And long story short, it's like, you have the ability to pay the loan back. We're going to give it to somebody that doesn't can. Have.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So I need to apply for a loan. Got it. So,
you know what I mean? So brutal. Yeah. And so then now, fast forward to Trump administration, the tariff stuff, like everything is made in the US that we have, except for our car seat protector, which is a great product, by the way. You come from your sweaty gym.
Yeah.
You put it to your car seat protector. That's made in China currently. The tariffs on that, caps, closures, trigger sprayers, you're not going to get that in the United States. Yeah. You're going to have to pay the tariffs. So the one thing any administration could do for any entrepreneur that's out there that's got a viable business opportunity, get them access to reasonable cash.
Yeah. Agreed.
Why is that not the... Why?
So hard.
Yeah.
Why is that so hard?
Well, especially when you got a proven model, right? Especially when you got something that you're still passionate about, right? I mean, everybody has a passion of this sort, but if you're sitting there going, you got a proven model, there's definitely a market for it. Why can't I get cash for
it?
Right. Well, that's the hard thing. You said the change in administration is always going to be the hard thing. But, you know, this country's run by small businesses.
It is.
And continuously making it difficult for... Yeah. Oh, you guys have got the assets you got the opportunity to pay it back, but we're not going to do it.
Right.
Like, we're going to shove it into somebody else's face that has a hard time. Like, why would you do that to that business and that individual and not want to help out somebody who is looking to progress and move forward and can do something? Yeah. I agree with you. That's always the trickiest thing when it comes to any entrepreneur coming up with any business ideas, where do you find that stuff and how do you navigate that shit? I can't even, I'm lucky enough. And we talk about the tariff stuff. I'm lucky enough that, you know, I got away from doing metals in China years ago because it just became, the shipping costs were just insane. That was even before tariffs.
Right.
Or the current tariffs, I guess. But, you know, so all of those are made in house now or in the US. And I've tried to narrow everything down, but there's always those things where you're like, how does a company come and put things together when you do have to have your sprayers and little caps and everything else? Like, it just makes it so hard for the small business. And I'm very fortunate that I have minimized.
Yeah. Well, you're smart.
The need for having to go overseas to do that stuff.
Yeah. And you're smart. And it's a tough deal for people that haven't planned that way. You know, the other thing that's tough is that, you know, when you see Ford and Apple and those guys, they get a pass on it because they're putting all this money in the United States. Yeah. But wait a second.
They got the capital to handle it, right?
You just shoved it up our ass a little bit further.
Thank you. Appreciate you. And smiled while you were doing it.
Seriously?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, so brutal. It's so hard, dude. But,
hey, where can people find the product now? I mean, you guys are a preferred supplier on Amazon, I believe, right? So you can find it on Amazon, obviously, but from a local perspective, where can people find your product currently?
Yeah. I mean, obviously nonasty.com is an easy way to get our product. But we're super proud of like Seaside Market. Here locally. Yeah. They're doing great with it. They're crushing it with it. And we haven't done any marketing. We've helped them. We've done a couple little ads.
That is the perfect demographic.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Seaside,
for sure.
Demographic.
Yeah, dude, that's it.
Seaside Market. Perfect. Yeah. You know, Fleet Feet has been awesome for us. There's some yoga studios around town that are great as well. But we're looking to really expand that. Like there's, you know, we're looking at Whole Foods. We're looking at Bristol Farms. Actually, yesterday there was a thing that we're working on trying to get to Bristol Farms and places like that. But so you're going to see over the next probably 60 days, 90 days, a huge kind of uptick in where to get No Nasty. So
is your focus more on the organic style grocery stores now, or is it or looking to back big box like Vons and Ralph's and stuff?
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I mean, so Target, we're in discussions with Target. Mm. They could kill us before, you know, financially kill us before, you know, we get there because I mean they require so much to do, right? Yeah, so we're exploring Target. We've been invited to go to open call in Bentonville, Arkansas, to Walmart. It's not like we're not. That's not our place of choice out of the gate.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see it everywhere eventually. Right. Like Native is everywhere now. Yeah. But certainly Whole Foods, those kind of places, all of that. But we're going to listen to Walmart. We were invited to go. We're going to listen to go do that. Certainly Petco has approached us for the pet stuff.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think where we're going to crush it on the pet stuff is through social media, TikTok.
Oh, yeah. Because
everybody's
think so.
Looking at dog reels, including myself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Right there, yeah. Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, it's like, if I want to just make my day a little bit better, I look for a dog video, and I'm good. But that's kind of where we're going. We've engaged with an amazing agency here in San Diego. We're going to a digital agency that has grown some really amazing brands. So we're excited about that. It's a little scary because it's very expensive.
It's a very unknown too. So like, yes, if you get the right digital content and the right advertising, it'll blow up. But as Omar and I will know, we can spend about 2 hours on making a video and it gets like two hits.
Two likes. Yeah,
two likes. You're like, never mind.
It's the one that we don't even think about that actually works very well.
That's so true.
It's like, that's like 2 minutes, put it out there, done. It's like, I'm still getting questions
from
that.
Just start and end every video with a dog in it and you're fine.
Yeah, there you go.
Fun fact, the most popular video that I have for my business, it's legitimately somebody brought in a pet toy that was like a little piggy that squeaked.
Yeah.
And I turned around, I was doing block presses.
Right, right.
And I put it on my client's chest
to
make sure, and it goes, and it sticks his tongue out. Till this day, I posted that thing like 3 months ago, or a month and a half ago. I would say at least 2 months ago. And it's still getting likes and comments like, oh my God, this is perfect. And I didn't even think about it. It was just a freaking video of bringing Bar down, smashing the pig, and putting it out. Right. That one in the short shorts was the ones that I got. I went viral because I was wearing short shorts in Costco.
Of course. Like,
It's like, good Lord, really, dude? I don't understand the algorithm, and I don't want to understand it, dude.
That's why these digital marketing companies can get paid some big bucks, to figure it out. Because I can't. I sure as hell can't figure it out.
No,
though, so.
I know.
I can see No Nasty in gyms. I can see No Nasty for sure in Whole Foods. I can see, I mean, just looking at your product.
Yeah.
I can definitely see the market for that. Yeah. And I'm definitely going to be looking at No Nasty.
Do you have a direct, like a gym direct program right now as far as like
yoga studio, gym.
But it's going to be No Nasty Pro. That'll be the whole thing. So it can be in bigger containers and all that stuff. We don't have it yet, but
yeah.
But if you,
well, I'm talking about even from like, you're talking about the places to sell it, like just having a regular sales program for gyms and for yoga studios.
Because I can see it in the gym, because here's why. I've been in gyms for over 10 years now. And every time it's like, oh my God, everybody knows who the stinky person in the gym is.
Right.
And even now it's like you go, you pointed out the yoga studio, but even in the gym, when you walk in, you're like,
oh yeah,
oh my God.
Yeah.
But if there was no nasty products, like we're going to become a wholesaler for Bubs at OTH. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so we're looking at other things that we could offer just to boost retail sales. Right.
Yep.
And so can gyms offer no nasty from an odor perspective, from a wholesale perspective?
Yes, no doubt. Yeah.
And so that could be something.
Yep.
I mean, obviously pets, and I can see the seat protector being a big thing too.
Huge.
I'm a huge sweater dude.
Yeah.
So,
yep. Yeah. I use my seat protector almost every day when I'm running and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I tweaked my back just last week, but I have this week, but almost every day, like we'll run Torrey Pines, come back, throw the seat protector on. The thing is awesome. Like, but the thing about it, like the thing that's so funny to me about even that product, right? It's like, it is a absolutely, if you're active and you sweat and you're in a yogi, you're in a gym, you use that thing. You're like, this thing, I got to have it. Right.
Yeah.
People buy it. We find buy it for the wrong reason. They buy it and they want to leave it on their car. It's not that kind of car seat protector, right?
Yeah.
So we've had a couple like reviews, people going, well, you know, where are the straps? And it moves around a little bit. Dude, we're trying to get you from the gym to your house.
That's all. Like a fucking locker room.
Right.
Yeah,
like,
that's all it is.
That's all it is.
And it takes
30... Take it with you when you get out the car, bro. Like,
Dude, like it's like, it couldn't be more simple. Like you unroll the thing. And you put it on the headrest and you roll it down and you hop in, you get there, you go home, you shower, you come back with your clean clothes, you roll it back up, chuck it in the back. Like it's done.
Exactly.
Yeah. But some people want to leave it on their car. Like I'm like amazed.
This is not a permanent car cover.
It's not. You know,
Yeah.
It's so gross.
You're just putting another layer to the stank, dude.
Totally. Totally. Anyway, so with any product, I guess that's why there's directions on a shampoo bottle, right? Because
some people just exactly.
Not everybody reads instructions, buddy. Not everybody reads instructions. But yeah, I could totally see us offering that is a retail. I mean, because I think gyms now, I mean, I'm a part of a lot of gym networking groups.
Yeah.
And one of some of the biggest struggles is gyms is like, what are our sources of revenue?
Yeah.
Right. And so I think people think, well, personal training, group training, small group training. Yes, that is kind of your bread and butter and why people walk into the door.
Yeah.
But there's a huge area for retail that just when I started my business, I was making like $50 a month on retail. Yeah. And now it's like much more than that only because I've put retail products in my business.
Right.
Right? Right. And so we talked about it with Bubs Natural when we had them on the call and killing it from a revenue perspective only because we have the product in our gym. Right.
Yeah.
So
we should definitely do that with you. Yeah. I mean, we're happy to do that. You know, we're just now getting more car seat protectors. And, you know, one of the interesting things about the car seat protector was like, how do you, like initially we had it folded up. Right. But then you ended up with creases in it. You know, that was the most efficient way to do it.
Yoga mat.
So then we roll it.
Yeah.
And so now it's in a roll and it's in a little box thing. But when you sell it through Amazon, you're charged for the size of the box, right? So then it's another challenge. Yeah. So ultimately what we're doing, and we looked at, it's going to be a tube. Mm. It's going to be in a tube with nice printing on it and that whole thing where that you can put a nice display out and do that so people can understand what it is. But, you know, those are the kind of things that you run in is how do you best display it? How do you best retail it? But that's for your gym. It's like, anybody that's walking in and out of there without one, trying to do the towel, you know, and they're leaning forward on their drive home.
Yep, exactly.
The towel sinks through. Some of it, I sweat terribly, but anyways. Yeah.
Andy, thank you so much for coming in, dude. This has been fun to catch up with you a little bit more. And again, thank you for, you know, supporting my races and supporting the endurance community for so many years through race cards as well. So I appreciate you coming in and just chatting with us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate both of you guys so much for the opportunity to chat. I'm taking this train to the promised land. Won't you give it up? You understand. We'll take one foot forward. Oh, baby.
This has been an international podcast transmission of No Fixed Agenda presented by Bubs Naturals. Music was provided by The Poor Dirty Astronauts with lyrics written by Matt Meyer. You can rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you find your favorite podcast episodes. NFA, over and out.